Ta'alo Falava, I'm Johnny Blades, and you're with The House. One of the ways in which members of the public can make a direct call for change to Parliament is by petition. A petition is a request signed by at least one person, usually aiming to get the government to change a law so that it can work better, or to address a gap in the current law, or seeking a new government policy. Some petitions are simply a request for an acknowledgement. Since the previous Parliament, all petitions have been considered by the Specialist Petitions Committee. The list of petitions on the committee's page on Parliament's website shows a great range of subjects, and petitions with just one signature aren't uncommon. But in this episode of The House, we're going to look at two petitions of recent times which garnered a lot of support and made quite an impact in terms of Parliament process.
Now, the petition was presented to the House on the 28th of February 2022, requesting that the House of Representatives change the law to substantially increase fines nationally for misusing any mobility parking spaces, including on privately owned land that is used publicly, and urge the government to run an education campaign to resist able-bodied people from misusing mobility parking spaces for public use.
MP Greg O'Connor, the chairperson of Parliament's Petitions Committee, talking last month in the House during a special debate about a petition that had been presented over 2 years earlier.
Claire Dale, who was the petitioner, is concerned about able-bodied people parking in mobility parking spaces. I think many of us have probably been guilty of driving around looking for a park, tantalisingly seeing a mobility park, but 99% of us have the common decency and understanding of the issues faced by those of the disability community and don't park in them. But there are always those in our community who think that firstly they can get away with it, or they think that the law doesn't apply to them, or are just lazy and do park in those car parks. And that, for members of the disability community, is extremely frustrating.
Petitions can take a long time to get together, and as Claire Dale told me about her petition, she faced various hurdles in trying to get traction.
The petition was launched an hour and a half before the second surprise lockdown. I had put food and beverages out. I was expecting local media to come, and all of that vanished within a couple of hours. Launching the petition, getting the petition going, getting signatures on the petition, getting anything done with the petition at all during that second surprise lockdown was just extremely hard yucca.
How many signatures did you get, and how long did it take?
The petition ran for about 6 months, and I forget how many I got. I think it was just below 4,000, which isn't a lot. And as I say, had we not been in lockdown, had some of the agencies that provide support to handicapped people not been so focused on COVID, I think we'd have done a little better.
In terms of submitting the petition to Parliament, how does that work? How did you do it?
The petition was submitted to the government while the mandate protest was going on outside the Beehive. So we were shuffled in through the back door of the Beehive. The Minister of Transportation at that time, the Honourable Michael Wood, had agreed to receive the petition in person.
At what point did your petition go to the Specialist Committee for Petitions?
It went after the presentation. It was picked up by Select Committee. I came down to Wellington, made a presentation to the committee. New Zealand Police, New Zealand Office of Disability Issues, and the Department of Transportation also made submissions to Select Committee on that day. And it was decided that we would collaborate for 6 months to explore the issues and possible remedies for what I was asking for.
Other people subsequently submitted in person to the committee on this very petition issue?
Yes, they did. CCS Disability Action made a submission. Foodstuffs came in Woolworths and Retail NZ.
I mean, there were opposing views as well, as far as I've seen.
Commerce are not keen to enforce mobility parking on the private property for public use. It's where most of the offending takes place, and they cited several different reasons as to why it would be difficult to for them to enforce mobility parking on their property. Fortunately, Select Committee's final report recognised their objections, but said that there are solutions and that Commerce needs to develop a code of compliance so that, again, mobility parking becomes standardised.
What happened next?
Select Committee's final report came out 2 to 4 days before Parliament closed for the general election, which I was quite discouraged over. It did recommend that there would be a special debate with the next government. I wasn't too hopeful that that was going to happen. So to my incredible surprise, a few weeks ago, I received an email from the petitions office to say that the special debate was, in fact, actually going to go ahead last Thursday.
Now, when that special debate about Claire Dale's petition happened, the MPs who spoke were all in support of making change in this area, including the ACT Party's Karen Chua, who offered a useful explainer of how petitions can affect change.
Often these kinds of petitions can create real change and create the conversation that we need to have to create further legislation. And I appreciate the recommendations that have been put forward by the Petitions Committee, and I really look forward to the future discussions that this petition has enabled to happen. And I hope that it actually directs future legislation and makes people understand how important this small issue is, because sometimes the smallest changes make the biggest difference in somebody's life.
Generally, the petitions heard by the Petitions Committee are taken note of in the form of a basic report, as Greg O'Connor explained.
Yeah, we report back to the House and with recommendations, but it really is up to government to what they will do with it. The other thing that the petitions offer is opportunities for members' bills. Ones like this, as someone may go through the Claire Dale petition, it may well be that there are opportunities within that for members' bills. But generally, when the petitions come in, they're around one issue, and that issue may cover several pieces of legislation. As the chairman of the committee, I found it interesting to go through and work out what legislation is backing this and the history of the fines, and knowing that the regulations require so many disability parks per park. So there is already some framework around this.
So are you confident that Claire Dale's petition will result in some sort of change?
I think that there will be some outcomes from it, whether it be a member's bill. But what will happen is that these regulations may be being reviewed, or legislation may be reviewed, and that's where it could be picked up in some future work. There'll be no specific work coming out of the petition or the debate.
It's quite rare, isn't it, for a petition to end up resulting in a special debate by MPs in the House?
Yes, this is the third time it's happened, bearing in mind, of course, this is only the second Parliament where we've had a petitions committee, having sat on other select committees that dealt with petitions pertaining to the subject matter. They were always a little bit awkward to deal with, and they tended to not take priority over the legislation and other business of the committee. So I think it's been a very good piece of work to set up a petitions committee. And as I say, only being in its second term of Parliament, we're still working out, you know, how best to deal with these things. And it's really giving a voice, because there's nowhere really else that many of these petitioners will ever be able to be in front of politicians.
Another example of a petition that made a significant impact was the petition calling for an apology by government for the racist immigration policies and actions of the so-called Dawn Raids of the 1970s, which targeted Pacifica communities, as well as calling for a legacy fund so that the raids can be taught in schools. The petition was organised by Benji Timu and Josiah Tuala-Mali'i, the latter of whom told me that they launched the petition as a way of acting on community expression.
So in 2020, the Polynesian Panthers Party Legacy Trust put out a call for a Dawn Raids apology. And some friends of mine, we encouraged our peers to write letters in support of an apology. And at the start of 2021, it was looking like it may happen. In May, we set up a petition. And, you know, asking the government to apologise for the Dawn Raids in support of our elders, to hold a special debate, because we were concerned that an apology might be given in the community or something that the community could come to, and yet many of the words and the actions that happened at that time were parliamentary related. So there should be something in the Hansard, our record of our parliament, that this has happened, and it shouldn't be just an accident. It should be some special space set up. And so the special debate was an option to do that. And then last year we talked about a legacy fund to enable education about this time and the impact of this time to happen. And so then we took it to Parliament in June, and 7,366 people signed from all across the country, many ages, many non-Pacific people, a large number of tangata whenua, young people from Christchurch where I live. And then we took it, and it was received by members of Parliament who came out onto the forecourt to meet with us and talk about it.
Did you submit to a select committee in tandem with this?
We did, yep. We wrote a letter to explain a little bit more about our hope for this, and then we got a reply back from them, and it was just a little bit after the Dawn Raids apology had actually happened. Yeah.
Your petition really garnered a response which seemed significant. It's not often that any petition gets, you know, something like a special debate or some action by the government. Normally they're just noted with a report to the House. Yours went quite far. I mean, was there anything in particular, do you think, that got it over the line, so to speak?
I think one part is the depth of feeling across New Zealand. It was quite special that the Pacific Cooperation Foundation did some polling around that time. 86% of New Zealanders felt that the New Zealanders should have better understanding of it and that an apology was important. And so I think that the community had, as in our Pacific community, had been able to help tell the impact of it. And so that was one thing. The other part is because we had talked to the different political parties and said, if an apology is given, we expect that you will hold this and protect it, because, you know, we don't want the elements of this to happen ever again. We don't want this to our community or any community to go through this. So please, will you work together to protect it? And to some extent, they listened. Yeah.
So the government apology for the Dawn Raids happened, and within a week or two, Parliament held a special debate on the issue, which drew passionate speeches from the likes of Judith Collins and Tiano Tuiono.
They weren't treated the same as other people coming here because they didn't have the protections of other people coming here. But let me just say, it is a wrong thing not to apologise. It's the wrong thing not to accept that wrongs were done and that we must own those.
Madam Speaker, I was privileged to be in the town hall and to actually feel the emotions and the soundscape. Actually, even though at the time of the Dawn Raids I was but a child, when we had the soundscape of police dogs and people crashing in through doors, it actually reminded me of South Auckland in the 1990s. And so I think it's really important for us to contextualise, to not compartmentalise the time of the Dawn Raids. It wasn't like racism started with the Dawn Raids. It was there before the Dawn Raids, and it continued after the Dawn Raids.
Josiah Tuala-Mali'i and his fellow co-petitioner travelled to Wellington to be there for the special debate.
We sat up in the gallery and listened to the MPs from the different parties share, and it was quite good because the other part of an apology, often you hear the government speak, but it was nice to hear the other parties all the parties in the parliament at the time, and there were five, you know, and hearing more voices. We heard some MPs talk about stories of their constituents, and you don't hear that necessarily during a government action, or you might hear that from particular parties, but not from other communities who have a member of parliament who's not in the government.
So, I mean, that's quite remarkable to have stemmed from a petition from two people deciding to do something about it.
Yeah, I guess we just felt it was the right thing to do, and because it was a cross-generational thing, you know, elders had gone out there and made this call for an apology, and the government had asked them their opinion, and we just felt that we should, as younger Pacific people, speak in support. And I guess that's something that this is another vehicle we can use, and maybe we might not always get a special debate, but one good thing I've found in other petitions I've taken is the committee does write back to us and sometimes asks to see us, but generally they want to know what will help. And in this example and other examples, they've always been open to hear, which is a really good thing about our democracy. And I suppose government and parliament are different, and sometimes government might not feel like the natural home for us to talk to, and we don't have to talk to government alone. You can talk to the parliament and that not be party dependent, which is another nice thing for some of us, where you can talk to all of them at once, and a petition is a great vehicle that's apolitical.
And so you think that the process around petitions at parliament is okay? I mean, it's open enough. Are there any ways you think it could be improved?
I think it's a really, really important part of our democracy, and it's a very good thing that we can do. I think a little bit about our elders and others who had to literally, when they took petitions even 20 years ago, and from other communities, you know, they literally went and got people to write their names down, and you know, it's just like, this is quite accessible for us, where we can make them online. You can send the link to people. So I think in that element, it's really accessible. I guess it's just that constant reminder, and for us who have had the experience, to keep encouraging people that you can use this. We can ring our members of parliament, or we can send them a message. We can create a petition. And one good thing about the petitions I've learned from this is it only needs one signature. And they will consider it. So it doesn't. It's not necessarily about the number of signatures that matters, but it's a good way to take an opportunity to have something that's important to you heard. And I can't think of anything that really needs to change, except that I'd like more people to know about it.
Meanwhile, Claire Dale said it's well worth people's time to submit petitions to Parliament.
People in Parliament lead very busy lives that are structured and happen in very specific ways. And while MPs for different areas may have an inkling of what the needs of their community are, I don't think it's until a petition is put together and people respond to it that they really understand how important those things can be.
And are you confident there will be law change eventually as a result of your petition?
Well, there has to be. We are outside of our compliance with the UN Charter. And so, fortunately for my petition, there are requirements that the New Zealand government comply with the UN Charter, specifically dealing with the rights of the mobility impaired and disabled. So, in my case, I'm quite confident that legislation will happen. My only question and my only concern over this is how long it will take. I would profoundly love to thank the NGOs that have published my press releases and the people that have helped me get this far. There have been some staffers in the Beehive who have been incredibly helpful and supportive and have sort of nudged me in the direction that I need to take next. And without their help, life would have been a lot more difficult.
Petitions to Parliament can be an effective form of grassroots message to those in power. Yes, creating law change from a petition can be a difficult and long process, and many times the attempt is unsuccessful. But you can be assured that your petition will be considered by a cross-party committee of MPs. And in this age of noise, to be heard is at least a start. You've been listening to The House, a program made possible
with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Tofa Soifua.